Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we see in John 16:17 that the disciples of Christ have learned to study his words a whole lot better than they had at the early stages of their discipleship. They're becoming better students of the word. They're becoming better learners, better pupils, better disciples. They are showing some studying techniques, but that still leaves them a good ways off from understanding what they need to understand, but at least they are now learning how to listen to the Word of God and to analyze it, though they still haven't come to the place where they're able to put all the pieces together. But I would say they have moved from grade school, primary school, up into the upper levels of high school in their approach to their study and understanding of God's Word. And my question is, where are you in your discipleship, in your ability to study the Word of God? Where are you in your level of understanding? And a lot of that can be seen in how accurately, how carefully, I guess I should say, you listen to the Word of God. You listen to those God called preachers and teachers who are teaching you the Word of God. How carefully you listen to them. How accurately you hear what they say. I've come to understand as a pastor that a lot of the things that I say, people do not hear. You can't expect them to understand if they don't even hear what you said. It's amazing how many things I will say, and people think I said something else. They only got part of it. They weren't listening carefully. They heard a phrase. They heard part of it, and their mind filled in something else that wasn't what I said at all, and they completely misunderstood what I said. I've seen that over and over and over and over. Now, folks, you can't begin to understand what something means if at first, as an elementary starting point, you don't even clearly understand what it says. You can't understand what the Bible means until you understand what it says. You can't understand what the preacher is saying to you until, at first, you understand the words that he has spoken. Then you need to go beyond that and understand the meaning of the words. But first of all, you've got to understand the words that he has spoken. I have learned that the best listeners to my sermons are other teachers. And I say that to you, if you're interested in learning the Word of God, one of the best things you can do is to become a teacher of God's Word. And you say, well, not everybody's called to teach. I know that. Not everybody's gifted to teach. I know that. But I'm confident that more people can teach than do, and I know that I am a teacher, and I recognize that I have a God-given propensity in that direction, and I think a God-given ability in that direction, which probably gives me an interest in that direction more than other people. But I think if I didn't even have a gift to teach, I would still find ways to teach, simply because I have learned that those who teach are the ones who learn the best. And I want to learn. I want to understand God's Word. And if teaching it to others will help me to understand it, if being a teacher of God's Word will make me a better listener to others who are teaching God's Word, then I'm going to find some way to teach. If I'm not a gifted enough teacher to teach in a classroom, to teach a Sunday school class or whatever, then I'll find some other form. I'll find some kind of one-on-one situation. I'll find somebody to disciple, somebody to teach. Everybody can do that if they will. Everyone, every Christian, every truly born-again child of God can do that if they will. I know a number of people in our church who are involved in discipling relationships. Some that we have set up for them and some that they have just initiated on their own. But we have a lot of these going on. We find this to be a very effective way to teach people certain things, and it's a good way, while the teaching is going on, to also build and develop relationships among people. So we have a lot of these going on. A lot of them have to do with people who have applied for church membership. Instead of having a membership class, as we had years ago, we've inaugurated something else. We set them up with a discipleship relationship with someone else in the church. And they go through some prescribed study material with their discipler. If it's a couple, it's often a couple that will disciple them. And if it's a single, you know, a gal, we'll find a gal, and a man will find a man, and so forth. Find somebody that's of a similar compatibility. We certainly aren't looking for exact compatibility in every way, but someone that we think can relate to and let them disciple that person. It usually takes several months, actually, to go through the material. And a lot of things happen during that time. A lot of good relationships are developed. It really accomplishes a lot of things. But one thing it accomplishes is it gives some of the members of our church opportunities to be involved in teaching in a way that they otherwise maybe would never. I'm not saying everybody who does discipling would never teach. Some of them would be public teachers who do teach in Sunday school classes or other places. But it does give people an opportunity to teach who otherwise might not have an opportunity. But they teach one-on-one around the kitchen table or wherever it is. They teach, and they do it effectively, and it makes them better learners. I was so thrilled when I found one of our men the other day who had inaugurated a discipling relationship with someone who does not attend our church, but someone who showed a willingness to learn, and someone that he's interested in, and particularly interested in seeing them saved. And some of these are evangelistic discipling relationships, and others are not evangelistic ones. They have to do with training people who are already saved. But we find one of the best ways to engage in evangelism is to get someone to agree to a discipling relationship, a one-on-one Bible study, and select some material that's appropriate for that and let them go at it. And it's amazing what the Lord will do in relationships like that. And I was so thrilled to hear of this man in our church who had established such a relationship with someone. And he told me how he had gone about it. It was a little bit different from anything that we have ever organized, but he had a very wise plan. He had it all laid out. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was using this teaching forum to try to reach this person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the process, he was learning more about God's word himself. And he was preparing himself to be a better listener. I find the best listeners to my preaching are the people in my church who are teaching others. And that's one reason why I want to see a lot of people involved in teaching. Some churches don't seem to want to get a lot of people involved in teaching and preaching. Some churches seem to want to limit the number of people who are involved in this. Well, I recognize that not everybody ought to be doing this, but I want to encourage people to more and more and more as possible. I couldn't tell you how many people in our church are involved in some kind of teaching ministry, but it would be a vast number. I would suspect it would be more than half of the membership of our church involved in some kind of a teaching ministry. And that makes them better listeners. When I stand up to preach, when I get behind my pulpit at our church and begin to preach the Word of God, I find I've got a congregation of eager listeners. And I know there's several reasons for that. Just ultimately, it's because the Holy Spirit of God has given them hungry hearts and prepared them to want to hear the Word of God and has given them listening ears. I know that. But I also know that part of the way the Holy Spirit has developed and prepared them for that is by putting them in situations where they are teaching. And because they have endeavored to teach and found out that it's not as easy as it looks. It's like, It's like running a restaurant. I think nearly everybody thinks they could do it until they've done it. And then they find out it's not so easy. More restaurants fail than succeed. Everybody thinks they could run a restaurant if they had the opportunity. Everybody thinks they could preach if they needed to, but find out it's not as easy as it looks. And it's not as easy to study, it's not as easy to prepare, it's not as easy to organize, it's not as easy to communicate effectively in a way that gets across what you're trying to communicate. It's not as easy to hold people's attention. It's not as easy to use language and vocabulary which communicates to the person or persons that you're talking to. It's more difficult than many people realize until they've tried it. Then when they try it, they begin to understand. But then they also begin to appreciate more those who are doing it with some degree of proficiency, and because they want to learn to do it better, and because also they want to understand God's Word better in order to communicate it, they become better listeners. I was so thrilled recently in our church when one of our men on a Wednesday night stood to testify. We give opportunity for that on Wednesday night, and he stood to testify. And in his testimony really was kind of half testimony, half sermon, a little short sermon. He had a scripture picked out, and he read some scripture and explained it to us and related it to his personal testimony, some things that were going on with his life and related to his job and people at work and so forth. But it was so well done, really, designed of the Lord. It was gifted ministry in that setting. And I happen to know some situations that were going on that this man knew nothing about, that what he said was obviously prepared of the Lord to minister to. He was speaking more powerfully and more pointedly than he had any idea. God had prepared all of that and was using him. But what thrilled me so much was, I can remember, not too many years ago, when that same man would attempt to give a testimony, and he just had the most difficult time doing it because he just couldn't seem to organize his thoughts. Everything was just so unorganized, so scattered, so random that he just was not communicating well. But he has been working at a teaching ministry in a senior citizen compound, community, housing development in our city, has been doing that for years. Taking his family, getting to know those people on a one-on-one basis, talking to them, showing an interest in them, communicating with them, teaching them a little bit of God's Word, conducting a service with them, just a handful of people that will come to the service. But you know what? A man who seemed to show no real giftedness for teaching, but was willing to do it, and there's nobody else who was available and willing, so he was doing something to minister to people that nobody else was willing to do. And the man who didn't seem to show any giftedness in this area has developed a tremendous ability. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? I think more people can do this than think they can, but you have to work at it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.